Hey guys, we have another fantastic episode for you guys today. And this was actually one of my very first interviews that I did many, many months ago. Today I'm bringing on Rachel Moore, who was actually one of my volunteers this year. And I invited her to come on the show because I really wanted to share her journey as she goes through the process of being a pre-occupational therapy student. In the episode, we learn how she first discovered occupational therapy, and it's kind of exciting, but it was actually due to one of our previous guests, and it was a post that she had put up on Instagram. We also talk about other things along her journey, such as completing prerequisites and volunteer hours within an OT setting, as well as the beginning process of applying to schools. And we also discuss a bunch of resources that she found useful throughout this process. So if you're curious, definitely go check them out in our show notes after the show. And since the recording of this show, I am so happy to share with you guys that Rachel has been accepted into an occupational therapy program and will be starting in just a few short weeks. Congratulations, Rachel. That is just so awesome, and I'm so happy and proud of you. And we'll definitely have to get you back on the show to share everything that you've been up to since then and as you prepare for this next chapter in your OT journey. If you're interested in occupational therapy, this is the place for you. This show aims to explore our profession by sharing who we are and what we do. Because for us, occupational therapy is more than just a job. Hi, I'm Sarah. Welcome to OT for Life. So welcome, Rachel, and thanks for coming on the show today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So to get started, I'd love to hear a little bit more about what a typical day or week looks like for you right now, Rachel. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So a typical week, I have classes twice a week and then some online classes that I'm taking just for some prereqs that I didn't get accomplished in my undergrad. And then I'm also volunteering in a couple different OT settings, which have been really unique. One with you and then also one in a pediatric clinic.
Awesome. You know, it sounds like you're getting some really good experience within the pediatric occupational therapy realm right now.
Yeah, I hope to at some point also get some more experience in other settings of OT, but at least for now, these are the places that I've gotten connected to, and so I'm just rolling with it, and I like it a lot, so it's been fun.
Awesome. And can you tell us a little bit of your favorite occupations and things that you do in your free time, if you have any free time? It sounds like you're busy already.
In my free time, I love to spend with other people. So, for example, like I have a life group that is through my church that I meet with, and I also serve in the high school ministry at my church, and they're a lot of fun. They're really cool. And then also there's once a week a therapeutic horse riding facility that I get to volunteer at and do a couple different things there. And then, yeah, just kind of and activities here and there that I like to do, like playing guitar or going out on a walk or taking care of other people's dogs or things like that in the free time that comes up, at least.
Right. Well, maybe one of these days you can teach me how to play guitar, because that's been one of my goals for a couple of years now. And my guitar is actually doing a really good job collecting dust over in the corner. So
yeah, totally. Let's do it.
I'd love to do that, you know, in definitely that non-existent free time that we both have right now. So how did you initially come across the field of occupational therapy?
So initially, I would say that I had one friend and mentor in my life that was an OT, but I don't think anything really clicked about it when I was with her, if she ever talked about it. And so at least to me, it felt like I didn't really understand what occupational therapy was until my last year of undergrad, when I was looking online for a career that I could possibly pursue, and OT came up, and I started Googling and watching YouTube videos about OT, and I loved so many aspects of it that I decided to definitely keep that idea of pursuing OT as an option for post-college, when I decided that I was actually going to hunker down and figure this out, what I wanted to do.
And I know that you had mentioned kind of a fun little story about, I think you said it was an Instagram post. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Totally. So there, the day where I was just scrolling through Instagram and I was looking up occupational therapist because I was, you know, kind of interested in it. And I came across a post by an OT that travels, and it was celebrating World Occupational Therapy Day. And in her post, she talked about all the different things that OTs do for their clients. And it just seemed like such an interesting profession because it had so much variety. It just seemed really fun and interesting. And that is kind of the moment where I thought that that's definitely something that I need to pursue amongst like the other options that I had going on. It was kind of that post that brought me to that place. And like, you know what? I'm going to go for it. So I'm really thankful to her.
That is so awesome to hear. And we will definitely link to that post in our show notes. So if anybody else is interested in checking out what it was that Rachel's aha moment, the post that brought her into the field of OT, we'll have it there for you guys to look at. So I know you had mentioned that you're currently volunteering at a couple different places for observation hours. And I know that a lot of the universities, they require that you have X amount of hours as part of your application. So how did you go about finding the volunteer opportunities and then also contacting the facilities about getting set up with them?
Mm-hmm. So just knowing myself, I don't really enjoy cold calling people and or just showing up to some place asking about volunteer opportunities. So I took to emailing people that I found. I Googled OTs near me and I emailed several. So if they didn't respond or if they were unavailable, it wasn't the end of the world that at least some people did respond and were interested in having volunteers. So that's kind of like where I started with that. More so emailing people and then seeing where it went once they did respond to me and if there was a good fit for me to serve them and for them to have that opening for me as a volunteer.
Was there anything that was maybe, you know, a little difficult about that? Did you find any maybe like scheduling conflicts or, you know, were there any facilities that just weren't interested in having volunteers? To like, talk me through the process a little bit.
So for one thing, I emailed a OT that was at I think it's kind of like a skilled nursing facility near me. I don't know it well, so I'm not sure if that is what they would call it if you work there.
Okay.
But he tried to suggest like availability, but he was very busy and he had a lot of different jobs that he was doing there. And so there kind of just came a moment where we were both kind of on the same page of like, you know what? It's just not really going to work at this moment in time.
Right.
And that's okay. I wish it would have worked out because it's 2 minutes away from my house.
Well, maybe in the next couple months, you might be able to reach out again and see
Definitely.
If there is still a potential that you could go there. Because right now you're getting a really good look at pediatric occupational therapy, mm-hmm. but being able to volunteer within a skilled nursing facility or some sort of hospital or outpatient, you know, where you're working with adults, would be a completely different experience.
Yeah. And I hope to someday get involved with a hospital nearby too, but they haven't had their orientation yet. So I'm just kind of waiting for that to come up. But yeah, hopefully I'll get set up with a OT that works in the hospital too, which would be really cool.
Yeah, that's actually pretty interesting. So what it sounds like is some of the sites actually have an orientation or a set day or maybe a couple days mm-hmm. throughout the year where they will bring in the volunteers and kind of get them up to speed. There mm-hmm. are, I guess, specific start dates. Does that sound right?
Yeah, for some of them, definitely. Some OTs that I contacted were very flexible uh-huh. and were just willing to kind of have you jump in the week after or very shortly after you had contacted them. And then, yeah, definitely like the hospital for one is very regimented. And so they want to make sure that they have their schedule of things and the way that they do things. So just kind of being flexible with them and working with what they have going.
Do you feel like some of the sites either wanted you just to come in for a day or maybe like 1 or 2 days or that they wanted you to commit to kind of an ongoing process or experience, I should say?
I think for most of the people that I contacted, it was more so ongoing. I think that if I had upfront told them, I am just interested in seeing what you do for a day. Mine is the hospital.
Right.
they're very much like, you got to commit to a year.
Oh, wow. A year.
Yeah. But it's like 4 hours a week for the year. Okay. But if something comes up, you know, that you can work it out, which I really like. Flexibility is a good thing.
Key.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't had a moment where I just watched OT happen one time or for one day, mm-hmm. because I've been really interested in investing multiple weeks or months into seeing OT over time, more so than just to collect hours. I think that that's something that I find myself like trying to justify. Like, no, like I'm in it for more than just collecting the hours, which I feel kind of weird about still, because yes, you have to, for certain programs, have documented hours, but then also like I am just genuinely interested in learning about it. So that's kind of a weird balancing act that I try to deal with.
Well, you know what, I fully support everything that you're doing. You know, and me myself, when I was in your shoes, I can honestly say I only had maybe a handful of hours, and it was only in pediatrics. It was only in a school district. I really just kind of jumped into the profession with a very small lens of actually everything that it encompasses. So I think it's really important, and I think you're probably getting a lot of value out of really taking your time. And I love that you said, you know, that investment. You know, this is your career, and this is something that you're going to be doing for the rest of your life. So you really want to get a good sense before you even start in an OT program, mm-hmm. you know, to really kind of build on those foundational skills and maybe be able to link a face to a disorder or a disability or maybe an experience or something like that as you go throughout the school process. So I think it's absolutely great. And I would highly recommend for anybody to really have a couple months, if not a year, to be able to invest the time and the energy into volunteering at a lot of different facilities.
Mm-hmm. Same. I second that.
How do you think your experience actually during the volunteer hours have been?
First of all, I really enjoy seeing it happen firsthand. I think that you get so much more out of it when you're there and watching it happen than if you were to read about it or hear about it from somebody else. And it's also, I'm so thankful that the places that I've volunteered at have OTs that don't make you feel like you're a burden or like that you're not welcome there. I'm not sure if that would exist, but the places that I've volunteered at, I've just felt so included in the session. And even in like minor ways of like holding toys or watching and playing with a child while you talk to a parent, something like that, I actually just really love, and it's been a lot of fun. And again, on the other hand, though, there's sometimes in sessions where I have no idea what I'm observing until you explain it afterwards, or yeah, sometimes I don't even know what questions to ask, and sometimes I feel like I am this newbie that has no idea what's going on. But even in that, like, it's still fun, and I still really enjoy it. And I think over time, I learn little by little, and that can be enough. That's okay.
Yeah, that everything that you said right there, I'm just like, oh yeah, totally, like nodding my head at all of that. But what really kind of stood out is that question or that statement of feeling like you are a burden. Do you feel like that was something that had you heard other people talk about that, or do you think that was just kind of personally something that you felt going into it?
Oh, that's totally personal. I don't know. I'm really aware that I have my own insecurities, and one thing that I just hate feeling is like I'm not welcome in places, or like, yeah, just like I'm a burden, like I'm not needed and things like that. And so I think in the world of OT though, OTs are so kind, and yeah, they're just very welcoming people that I'm really thankful that this is the environment that I'm getting myself into, you know?
Yeah, you know, and the reason that I brought that up is because I don't think you're alone in that feeling. And specifically being a volunteer and being just kind of like dipping your feet into the water of this expansive profession, I'm sure that there are other people that also feel that, how do I manage? Like, I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm trying to learn, and here I am, I'm a sponge, and I'm happy to be here. But I'm also, like you said it yourself, like such a newbie. and so that's why I kind of wanted to highlight that, you know, because I really don't think that you're alone in that. And I know when I was going, like in the very beginning, I definitely felt that way. And it was just like, oh man, like how do I continue to learn and kind of put myself out there, but then also recognize if it's not working, or, you know, if what kind of avenue, how I can be utilized as a volunteer. Mm-hmm. Do you have any exciting stories or fun stories, anything that kind of stands out to you about your volunteer experience within OT so far?
Let me think for a second. I don't know if any specific experience that I've had necessarily stands out as an exciting story or one that makes me think something totally new and brilliant. But there's also, like, that's okay, I think. And not to say that, like, everything's monotony and there's nothing exciting. Like, it's all very exciting.
Right?
Right now, yeah. I think right now I might just still not have awareness enough of, like, these OT eyes to be able to see exciting OT things happen. It's really great to see progress with kiddos when, here's one. So there was one moment I remember where I was volunteering with you, actually, and I would see one kid and then I wasn't able to see them for a few weeks, and then seeing them again and noticing progress was really cool, because part of me going into volunteering was unsure about how much progress you would actually see week to week. Then actually seeing it firsthand is really, really cool. I know that's kind of vague, but I feel like I shouldn't be saying specifics.
I feel like a lot of things, probably most of the things that you're getting exposed to, like, everything's exciting. So I can totally understand how, you know, picking just one is difficult. But definitely within the field of pediatrics, there can be, depending on the case and the situation and everything, but there can be progress on a daily/weekly basis. So coming in kind of fresh to the field and already being able to see the progress that's being made is got to be a really cool experience and kind of something to witness so early on.
Totally. Yeah.
So let's switch gears here for a second. And let's talk about kind of looking into OT programs and different schools. Can you tell me if there's anything specific that you're looking for in a program, or maybe something that would make one program stand out compared to a different one?
So I think when it comes to figuring out what programs I'm interested in, the things that pop out to me are the way that the schools supply opportunities for the students to grow, whether there's really interesting overseas trips are really cool to see pictures of and to see how they can do OT in a completely different country is really cool.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a unique part of it too. And then also, I think it's unique when they have opportunities for students to attend OT conferences, which is something that I've noticed a couple of programs do.
Like a scholarship type thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is something that I think would be really cool to do, because if you're like where I'm at right now, I would have to pay full price to be able to go to these, and it's a few hundred dollars, I think. So I can't really afford that.
Yes. And but, being that this year will be my fourth, I think so. Yeah. I think this is going to be my fourth conference. It is an extremely important thing to go. I'm definitely going to advocate for anybody, students and practitioners, to attend the American Occupational Therapy Association conference. I absolutely love it. It's such a wonderful experience. You get to meet all sorts of really cool OTs, hear kind of the groundbreaking research, network and do all sorts of, like, really fun activities. And so I look forward to it every single year. And so I think it's really cool that you're actually, even just going into a program, you're looking at that as an aspect of it. Because I can tell you, when I was a student, I was not thinking that way at all. And I practiced for about 6-ish years before I went to my first conference. So kudos to you for making that kind of something that you are already looking into.
And also, possibly, that might come from hearing you talk about it. And so, like, it gets me excited. And then sometimes I notice that some schools offer, like, financial help to be able to go to things. And there's just so many exciting things happening there. I think it'd be really cool to go to one someday, especially as a student, before you're even practicing OT, if that's available.
Oh, yes. Yes. You can definitely go as a student. I love seeing all the students that go and kind of having the school pride and just kind of that camaraderie. So I tell all of my students that come through with me, you got to go to AOTA. Like, it's such a great experience. And I actually think a couple of my previous students are going to be going this year. So we'll have to talk to them when it's over and see what their thoughts were. Is there anything else that you've been specifically considering for
an OT program, or maybe something that you've seen and that you're not interested in that kind of realm of it?
I don't think that there's anything I wouldn't be interested in. Again, just because I feel like a sponge where I'm just kind of taking it all in, like, hey, anything you have to offer, let me know. I really liked one thing. The program at USC actually has leadership positions within the program, like a student ambassador position, which I think is really unique. They like meet with you at information sessions and also have a blog on their website. And I think that that's really cool. Yeah. So if programs have opportunities for the students to be in these leadership positions while they're still students, I think that that's super awesome also. And then there's obviously like all the no-brainer things I look for in a program. Are they accredited? Are they affordable, or do they have financial aid? And where are they located? Things like that will people think about already, hopefully.
I think you came up with some very valuable advice and kind of some things to bring attention that maybe some people wouldn't be thinking about. So, I think the last things that you mentioned are things that most pre-students are going to be thinking about. But some of those opportunities, whether it's leadership, whether it's international fieldworks or experiences or anything like that, are definitely things to consider as you choose what program you're going to be investing a couple years of your life into.
Awesome. Real quick, one last thing with that. Something that I really value is the relationships between students and professors, and if that is like open communication, and again, kind of feeling that like, is it a welcoming, encouraging place? So that kind of shows up there too. That's not straight up listed online or anything. So
right.
Talking to students in the program is where I would figure that out. That's something also that I'm really interested in with the program.
Have you had a chance to either connect with any current students right now, or I don't know if like any of the maybe admissions websites have a contact that you can kind of reach out a day in the life of an OT student at this university? Have you come across anything like that?
There was a student that was with you one day that I don't know, talking to her while we were driving around to people's houses and doing OT things. And then also, I have a friend who is in another program that I'm going to meet up with in like a week or so, which is going to be cool.
Yeah.
And then some websites for OT programs, they have like a student. Gosh, I just keep thinking of the USC student blog. It's really kind of what comes to my head, where they talk about like what's it like to be a student. So I'm sure that other programs have that as well. I haven't had the time to really look all over the place at all these different schools quite yet.
So what would you say your next steps are as you kind of go through this process? You have been volunteering at a couple different places, getting some hours in, doing lots of research on different school programs and all of that. What do you see that you need to kind of get done maybe in the next month or the next couple months, something like that?
Mm-hmm. So for one thing, I need to make a list of what programs like I generally want to apply to. Because I have like a rough list, but I should at this point kind of figure out where I want to focus in on. And then with those, see what specifically is required for their applications, whether they are a part of the general OT application system, which is OTCAS. And then also, if they're a part of that or if they have other things that are also required of them. I need to take the GRE.
Ooh.
So let's require the GRE.
That's always a blast.
Which I was really excited for at one point, and I was ready, and I was like, kind of studying for maybe 3 days, and then just kind of fell off the radar. So I need to get back into that.
Well, luckily you have the time, so.
I mean, there are moments here and there. But yeah, I need to be better at actually studying for that. And then I do still want to find other places that would offer opportunities for me to volunteer and to see OT in other realms, because you're right, like I have observed in places that do pediatric OT, but I am interested in other varieties. What am I saying? Other kinds of OT, other settings. So I'm still interested in like looking for more volunteer places and seeing what else is out there.
Do you have a rough idea of maybe when you are going to start applying, or at least start the process of applying?
Yeah, generally speaking, it'll be towards the fall. The programs that I'm interested in, I think, start opening up around September. And actually, I have this little post-it note calendar in my room where I have listed out some of the programs, like when their application opens, when it closes, or if it just opens and you need to kind of apply right as it opens, because it's just, I think they call it a rolling admission.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yes. and so, yeah, keeping all that organized is really helpful. But yeah, generally like fall-ish.
Okay. Do you feel like it is challenging trying to manage, like what this school, what these requirements are as opposed to this school's requirements? Or do you feel like they're fairly similar, that kind of having a baseline of volunteer hours and a minimal score on the GRE, do you feel like the schools are very different or are they pretty similar?
I've noticed that most of them are pretty similar. There are a couple programs that require something that seems a little unique. I know that there's a program that requires me to take like a 3D art kind of class, so like ceramics, for example. And that's something that not all programs would require of a pre-OT student. But most of them are pretty similar with the same prereqs and letter of recs. I mentioned the GRE. Some of them, not all of them, require the GRE.
So do you have any resources or maybe some advice for other people that might be in similar shoes that you are in right now, considering going to OT school, looking into different programs, anything that you found that's been extremely helpful?
Yeah, so there's Gotta Be OT is one of the blogs that I found really helpful. They have titles of applying to OT school and choosing an OT grad program. So a lot of it's very applicable right now.
Very cool.
And then also Mama OT has a lot of blog posts kind of all over the place. And so it's really helpful there too. And with YouTube videos, the American Occupational Therapy Association has their own YouTube channel with plenty of videos describing OT and interviewing specific OTs. And you can get a lot of resources from them as well.
That's super cool. Cause I definitely did not use YouTube videos. Maybe it's a sign of the times when I was looking into becoming an OT student. So I love the fact that, you know, you're able to kind of watch people talk about it and maybe see some snippets of what OT actually looks like, and really kind of hear from people that are in the field right now. So I think those are some really, really good resources.
Yeah. And then just general advice is enjoy the process. I think that there can be a big stress of, because I can get into this, of, oh my gosh, I have so much to do. I have all this on my list of things that I have to accomplish or get done by that date. And you can get a little overwhelmed if you're doing that on top of potentially like you work or you serve in other aspects of your life. What's cool about where I'm at right now is I feel like I have freedom over the schedule that I have, and I get to place things where I can, which won't be everything. You can't do everything. But I just get to enjoy the process of figuring it out and exploring OT while I'm also getting done what needs to get done. And also just thinking about how this is going to be the only time that I get to do this and kind of be that newbie before a student. And once you're a student, then after that, you graduate and then you hopefully become an OT. So right now it's so fresh and exciting, and just to enjoy that part and not to get overwhelmed with all the things that feel like you need to accomplish and get done.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And it's definitely kind of a pivotal part of, you know, something that you're going to learn in OT school, and definitely be exposed to it once you're a practitioner and you're already, you know, you're already getting a taste of it. And I'm sure you got it in undergrad and high school and all of that, but really learning the work-life balance, and it is preached in OT school, learning how to prioritize your time and learning to be flexible and kind of manage what needs to get done and what you want to get done. I literally just had a conversation with my husband about this subject last night. And I love how you said that you can't do everything. Right now, you can't do everything. And even as a practitioner, you just can't accomplish everything that you want to. But really just kind of recognizing the value of the process, you know, and enjoying the time and kind of just understanding the balance is really what's going to make you happy in the long run, and making time for what really matters. So I think that really spoke to me, and I think that was really cool that you brought that up. So I'm going to kind of turn the tables a little bit here, and I'm going to let you ask if you have any questions for me at this time.
Yes. So one question with just where I'm at with volunteering is I want to know, what it takes, I guess, to be a good volunteer from your perspective. So, like, what do you value and appreciate about your volunteers?
So, I'll start by saying that I absolutely love having volunteers as well as OT students. I do accept some fieldwork students, both level ones and level twos, and having all three of you guys is absolutely fantastic. I feel like it's always been a really big part of my practice and an extremely valuable experience. I think as a practitioner, it's really easy to just kind of get caught up in the mundane daily routine and just your regular schedule, your regular caseload, the demands, the stress, all of this kind of stuff. And by having a volunteer and having somebody that is so new to the profession, I get a fresh set of eyes. I get to answer a lot of fun questions. Some of them can be kind of challenging and really make me think. But I also feel like it's not only that I get to kind of educate the volunteers, but I also get to learn from them, be able to kind of share my passion with them, and then hopefully kind of instill maybe even more passion for them as they pursue OT school and the OT profession. And so as far as really making what makes a good volunteer, I think flexibility is definitely one of the big things, you know, and just kind of rolling with what is happening. And specifically, you know, in any facility, anything can happen at any moment, and just kind of being able to kind of roll with the punches and just go along with it and really take in as much information as you possibly can. Right now, as a volunteer, your job is to learn and to really just pick up on anything that you can. I think asking a lot of questions of the supervisor and maybe of other OTs, if you're at a facility that there are other OTs at, or even other professionals, whether it's a physical therapist or a speech therapist, psychologist, maybe the doctors if you're in a hospital or something like that, but really just kind of learning collaboration skill. I think being on time is important because as practitioners, we, you know, we definitely have a schedule. And if you as a volunteer are running late or whatever, it can add more kind of stress onto the practitioner and anything like that. But really a willingness to just learn. That's what I like. It's really refreshing when I have somebody that is just has a thirst for knowledge, and they want to hear everything that I have to say. And I will talk and talk and talk all day long about OT and everything that I love about it. So yeah, just being willing to learn and hear everything.
And I appreciate too that you do have a lot to say about OT, even if I have the smallest of a question, because sometimes I don't even really know what to ask, or I only have like a little bit of an understanding of something, and then you're able to explain something so well and kind of meet me at the level that I'm at. Even though I haven't gone through all these classes yet, you're still able to help me understand and learn more, which I think is very cool, and I'm very appreciative of that. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I mean, I think it's definitely kind of a level of complexity, being able to tailor the information of what I need to convey, whether it is a volunteer, whether it's a student, whether it's a parent, anybody at all, so people can start to understand what the purpose of the OT for this client is. What is it we're trying to get them to be able to do? So, you know, from the practitioner standpoint, it definitely adds a little bit of a challenge to frame things in a way that your audience is going to be able to understand. So mm-hmm. I appreciate what you just said too. So I think we've covered some really, really good information here. That will hopefully be helpful to other people that could be looking into becoming an OT, applying to schools, maybe even looking into trying to find some volunteer opportunities. So we'll wrap it up with one last question. What does occupational therapy mean to your life?
So one thing that I really value at a very deep level is serving people. And for the longest time, I couldn't find a career or, I guess, avenue, like a long-term job that I could serve somebody in such a fun way and in a way that was very meaningful to them until I came across OT. So first of all, OT just really fits that for me, and I'm sure for a ton of other people. Meeting somebody in the moment that they're at, in the struggle, wherever they're at, and helping them achieve something or develop in a way that is beneficial to them and is meaningful to them is something that hits me at a level that makes me just feel like I'm living. Yeah, like when people ask me what I'm passionate about, it's less of a response of, oh, I like to do this and I like to do that. But I get really passionate about the success and well-being of other people. And that's something that OT is. And so what OT means to my life is exactly that. It's just serving people and loving people in a way that benefits them and is satisfying to me also.
Well, I think you have found the profession for you. I could hear the passion behind the words that you were just saying. And I think that is just absolutely amazing. And so I hope maybe a little bit later on, we can kind of touch base again and see where you're at and hear what's been happening from this point until we talk again. So maybe you'll consider coming back on.
Yeah, I would love to. That'd be so fun.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for being here. This has been a wonderful talk. And I think we covered a lot of really good ground here. So thanks again.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah.
Hey, before you go, I just wanted to say thanks for listening to today's episode. If you want to further the discussion, go to our website, otforlife.com, and join our Facebook group. If you like us, here are three easy ways to let us know. One, share our podcast with a friend, colleague, or anyone interested in occupational therapy. Two, leave us a review on iTunes or anywhere this podcast is found. Three, subscribe to us so you don't miss out on any upcoming episodes. Thanks again. We'll catch you next time, OT for Lifers.